A rich Catholic man always said that the secret to his financial success was found in using the Bible for advice. For example, he said, I would close my eyes, open up the Bible at random, and then place my finger on one word. And whatever word that was, I took that as good advice from the Bible. The first time I did it, my finger landed on the word oil. So I invested in oil and the gushers came in. A few years later, I did that again, closed my eyes, opened up the Bible, and my finger landed on the word gold. So I bought stock in gold and the mines produced many, many thousands of dollars. But then one day the man had a financial setback. So he opened his Bible again at random and pointed to a page and the words read chapter 11. So you have to explain that to the kids. Well, in today's gospel, it is the Bible that advises King Herod and the scribes and Pharisees where the Christ would be born. Notice that the wise men went to Jerusalem first. They did not go to Bethlehem first. See, remember, they had seen the star at its rising, and these wise men, these Magi, as they're called, were astrologers. They were philosophers. They were studiers of world religion. And that in their mind, they knew that when a great star appeared, it was the sign that a king was born somewhere. Somehow they figured it out. It was the king of the Jews. So, of course, they went to Jerusalem, the very center of Judaism. And so when they went to Jerusalem, they asked King Herod and the others, where is the newborn king of the Jews? See, notice that divine revelation was not yet given to the wise men. It was only natural revelation. They had seen a star. And natural revelation revealed to them that some great event had taken place, the birth of a king. But they needed more than just natural revelation. They needed the Bible. They needed divine revelation. They needed sacred scripture. So when they went to Jerusalem, Herod said to the chief priests and the scribes, what does the scripture say? Where will the Messiah come from? Where will the newborn king be? And so they opened up the scriptures. They opened up what they had, which was the Old Testament as we know it. And they read in the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verses 2, Bethlehem. That's where the Messiah would come from. It says, from Bethlehem will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So then the chief priests and the scribes told that to King Herod. So this is where they understood where the Messiah was going to come from. And so then Herod is the one who told the Magi secretly to go to Bethlehem. And then after they had found the child, come back and bring me word that I too may do him homage. Well, of course, for King Herod, that meant he would destroy the child. He would kill the newborn king of the Jews. Anybody that threatened Herod, he got rid of. And so notice how we have first natural revelation. You know, the star led the wise men to Jerusalem. But it was divine revelation. It was sacred scripture. It was the word of God that led them to Bethlehem. So then they begin a 5-mile journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And isn't it amazing that it was only 5 miles away? And yet the chief priests and the scribes and others never went there themselves. Even though these Gentiles, these pagans, traveled over 1,000 miles from Persia or somewhere where they were from to seek out the newborn king of the Jews. And yet those in Jerusalem wouldn't even travel 5 miles to try to search for him. And so they go to Bethlehem, and again the star appears and it stands over the house, it says, where Mary was with the Christ child. They were no longer in the stable and the cave and the manger, because by this time the census was over. People had left Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and now they could find proper housing. And so it says they went into the house, and saw Mary and the Christ child. And it says, they prostrated themselves, they laid down on the ground and adored the newborn King of the Jews. And they opened up their treasure chest and offered him three treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these treasures, of course, are very valuable, but they also have great significance. I think you're familiar with that beautiful hymn, We Three Kings. And in that hymn, it goes into each of the three gifts that the kings give. It says, born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. So the first gift that they gave to the Christ child was gold, and that represented Christ the King. And then the next verse of the song says, frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising gladly raising, worship him, God on high. Frankincense was special perfumed incense that was used to worship God. And so the gold was for a king, the frankincense for the divinity of Christ, acknowledging the divinity of Christ, that this was God made flesh. And then third, myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes the life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Myrrh was the third gift given by the wise men. Myrrh was a perfume, an embalming fluid used to anoint those who were being buried. It was a gift which, of course, was very valuable, but also represented the fact that Jesus was going to be the sacrifice. He was going to be the Redeemer. He was going to die for his people. So these gifts, gold for a king, incense for God, and myrrh to represent that Jesus would be the sacrifice, the one who would die for our sins and the sins of the entire world. And notice the last verse of the hymn. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sounds through the earth and skies. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. And that is who Jesus Christ is, the perfect light, the light to the Jews and the light to the Gentiles, the light of the world. Now, when we come to Mass, we imitate the wise men, because the wise still seek Christ. And as we come to Mass every Sunday, we too are like the Magi, the wise men. We have to travel as well. Of course, we have it much easier. They traveled over 1,000 miles, took many months of hardship and sacrifice with the bad weather and the cold. And yet, we also travel when we come to Mass. And some of you live a few minutes away, some of you live quite a distance away. But remember, travel time to come to Mass is an act of love for Jesus. And when you come to Mass, you're dedicating that time to come to worship him, to adore him, to praise him, and to love him. And on your way to Mass, I would recommend that you prepare for the Holy Mass. When we were kids, when my mom and dad would drive us to Mass, we did not listen to the radio. We either had some quiet time and silence to prepare for Mass, or we prayed a couple decades of the Rosary. Some of you live 2 decades away from church. Some of you live 5 decades away from Mass. But you can pray a few decades of the Rosary, or you can listen to sacred music, maybe beautiful Catholic and Christian music, or maybe listen to Bishop Sheen CD or Mother Teresa. You can get some of the amazing CDs in the back of church and listen to them as you come to Mass. So use that travel time well. It's a beautiful gift to the Lord. And then when you come to Mass, My parents always taught me as a kid, when you come to Mass, always bring to the Lord gifts. And they suggested the gold of our love, the frankincense of our prayers, and the myrrh of our mortifications and sacrifices. So when we come to Mass, we bring obviously to the Lord our time, our talents, and our treasure. But don't forget to give him the gold of our love, the frankincense of our prayers, and then the myrrh of our sacrifices and mortifications that we do during the week. And we bring that to the Lord and give that to him as a gift every Sunday. And lastly, the wise men adored the Christ child. And we do this as well. They prostrated themselves before him. We genuflect when we come into Mass. We genuflect, which is a sign of acknowledging Christ as our King, as our God, and as our sacrifice. Before we receive Holy Communion, we come up and we can either genuflect or bow to make a sign of reverence before we receive the Lord in Holy Communion. And then the other thing that my family taught me when I was a kid is that after Mass, we knelt down and said a few moments of thanksgiving after Mass. It gave a chance for the parking lot to clear out a little bit, but it was an opportunity to adore Christ. He was within us in the Blessed Sacrament and Holy Communion, so we would spend a few moments just in prayer right after Mass, making our thanksgiving. And I believe that probably was the seed of my vocation, the little extra time in prayer after Mass every Sunday. Perhaps that was the little seed that eventually germinated into a vocation. So in this beautiful feast day of the Epiphany, the feast day of the Magi, let us remember to give the Lord every Sunday when we come to Mass the gold of our love, the frankincense of our daily prayers, and the myrrh of our mortifications and sacrifices.